morning, we're beginning this series, How to Get What You Really Want. Now, you know and I know that thousands of books have been written. There's so many how-to manuals and seminars. And it seems like we are in this endless pursuit of how to get what we really want. And even the scriptures, most of us at times in life look at this as a manual of not so much how we can know God better, although that is there, often because of what we're walking through in life, because of the challenges we face, we run to this book even to try to figure out how to get what we want. And so I have to ask you this question: what do you want? What is it, if we could sit down and have a conversation and talk about your life and talk about my life, and I would ask you, what do you want? What would come to mind? Some of you already know, like instantly, it's in your head. You already have it figured out. It's a car. Like there's a car you have found. And listen, I know maybe it's not that car, but we're in church and God's listening, so who knows? But there's a car. Maybe it's a Rolls Royce. Maybe it's not. But there's a car that you just feel like, oh, and you've got all the reasons. That's what I want. Right now, in this season of my life, I figured that out. Surface level stuff. Or maybe you've got the car. For you, it's a boat. And you've even told God, God, maybe you haven't, but today, God, if you're listening, if you give me a boat like that, we can even do church on it. Like whatever it takes. Because there are all these lakes around Central Florida. So maybe for you, it's that surface level stuff. It's a car. It's a boat. Or maybe what you need, what do you want? Maybe for you, it's a break. It's a vacation. Maybe it's a couple weeks. Maybe it's a couple months. Maybe it's somewhere in Europe where you're just going to go and you're just going to relax and you're going to see things you've never seen and you're going to enjoy the scenery that God created, because honestly, you're tired. And what you need, what you want, is a break. And you look at your life and you can't see how a break fits into where you are. So what is it that you really want? For some of you, it's not those things, it's something deeper. And then there are some of you, honestly, you don't know. Maybe you've been in a dating relationship where the other person has said to you, I don't know what I want. And they're not lying to you, they're being honest. Because there are moments in life where we're just not sure. There are options, there are things to consider, we're just not sure. So, if you could not just talk to me, if you could talk to God, if he were going to meet you for coffee, and if he were, he would definitely ask you to meet him at the Drunken Monkey, because it is an amazing coffee shop. But if he were to meet you for coffee, and you were to sit down, Bombay Avenue, tell him I sent you, it's awesome. If you like hot drinks, the Tantric Mayan, it's like a chocolate cinnamon hot coffee. If you like cold drinks, the Mojo Jojo, it has sweetened condensed milk. It's like Christian crack. I mean, it's just, you drink that coffee, back to God. If you were sitting down, if you could tell God one thing you wanted, what would you say to him? One thing that I know you want, because I want it too, it's all of us, it's the human condition. It's not your answer. This has not come to your mind yet, but one of the things that I know is there in you and in me, we want it our way. We want to do things our way. Have you ever had that thought? If people in my family, or people that I work with, or friends that I hang out with, if they just did everything the way I think it should be done, life would be great. Have you ever had that thought? Because for you, it's true. We want it our way. But have you ever noticed, sometimes when we get our way, we often get in our own way? Have you ever wanted something and gotten it to only discover that you really didn't want it? You just thought you did. I was in first grade. I was 6 years old. And we had nap time in class. I grew up in Texas, and you were taught to obey teachers, and if not, they brought the pain. And so at nap time, you had to put your head on the desk and relax, but the teacher wasn't paying attention this day, and it was early in the school year, and what I wanted was a great connection with the six-year-old little girl sitting next to me. because I thought this is the one. I'm 6 years old. I've figured this out. I'm highly intelligent. I've got it figured out. And so during nap time, she actually took a nap like she was supposed to. I bent down under the desk and I tied our shoestrings together in multiple knots. I was going to show her how persuasive I could be, but also help her understand you want to be connected to me. I mean, it was all it took. I wanted that till I got it when she woke up and we were marched together to the principal's office because the teacher couldn't even untie it. He had to cut her shoestrings. I had to, on the phone, explain to her parents why I did what I did. Her dad told me he was coming to meet me the next day. I'm 6. It was terrifying. And maybe that's not your story, but there's a moment in your life where you look back, and if you honestly evaluate, what got in your way was you. Because you were chasing what you wanted to only later discover that's not really what you wanted, but we want our own way. Another answer that if I ask, what do you want, that you would not say, but it's in the back of your mind somewhere, we want to do what we want to do. We want to do what we want to do. Parents, have you ever said to your kids when they ask you something and you said, no, you can't do that, and they begin that pushback process, maybe not your kids, but you've read about kids that when parents say, no, you can't do that, they push back, or parents will say, hey, you need to do so-and-so. Have your kids ever said, do I have to? Do I have to? In 10th grade, I had a geometry teacher. Every single day he started the class with, always remember, the only thing you have to do in life is live till you die. It's very encouraging. But when your kids start to process, do I have to? Maybe one thing you could do as a parent, when they become teenagers, you can say to them, no, you don't have to. Once you get above about this tall, nobody can make you do anything. They can only keep you from doing things. That's what prison is for. Because there were people who didn't want to do what they should. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And you can't make people do what they should, but you can keep them from doing other things. The minute you say prison, they obey. But we want to do what we want to do. It's just in us. You want that. I want that. We also want perpetual pleasure. We are pleasure chasers. We chase relationships that make us feel good. We chase being places that make us feel good. We want perpetual pleasure. Now, the minute I said pleasure, what do you think about? Yeah, binging on Netflix. No, that's not what you think about. You think sex. You just aren't sure you're allowed to say it in church. But that's what went through your mind because we connect pleasure with sex. And it can be that, but it's so much more than that. There are other areas where we just want perpetual, ongoing, over and over again, pleasure. It's what we chase. It's why we buy what we buy. It's why we go where we go. It's why we hang out with who we hang out with. We want perpetual pleasure. The problem with that is what used to bring pleasure can be the very thing that begins to control you and is no longer pleasurable. See, pleasure is addictive, which undermines the pleasure, which isn't what we want. Often, the pleasure, the things that we chase in our pastimes, those often become pathways. And what you used to find pleasure in now controls you. And in your mind, you're thinking, I know what I wanted, but I wish I'd never. I wish I'd never taken that first drink because of where it's led. I wish I'd never popped online that first time and looked at or chose to go to, and now it feels like it controls me. And in getting what we want, we haven't gotten where we'd like to be. And whatever it is you want, whatever it is I want, we want it now. We live in the day of instant gratification. We want it now. So many things are available to us so quickly. And so if you've figured out what you want, you've also figured out how to get it as quickly as possible. But one of the things you discover the older you live is that later is longer. See, you were chasing that thing you thought you had to have now, and you got it, and it took just what feels like a few moments in the span of your entire life, but now forever later is much longer, and you have to live with that. That's why you put stuff on the credit card that you don't even wear anymore, because you wanted it now, but later's longer, and now you don't feel like you want it. That's why what you have financed that you're now driving, you don't really want anymore, you want something else. Because in the moment you felt the now, but later is longer, and now you're living in later, and you don't want it like you wanted it. Later is longer. It's the principle of now and later. You're going to get one of these when you leave, by the way. It's going to be a good day at C3. You leave here, we give you a sugar high. You're welcome. But now, because you want it now, but later is longer. So remember that. Listen, but the thing about it is, what you want now, pause to consider, because you have to live with later the rest of your life. Regret begins with I want. Every regret you have that you can control, every regret I have that I can control, it began with I want. But regret ends with I want to go back in time and not get what I wanted. I wish I could go back in time and break up about a month earlier. I wish I could go back in time and not say I do. I wish I could go back in time and not move my family to pursue that new job in that new city. I wish I could go back. Regret ends with I want to go back in time and not get what I wanted. See, chasing what you want, chasing what I want, will take you somewhere, can take you somewhere you don't want to be. So what do you want? If we always get our way, we lose our way. If we always do what we want to do, we end up where we don't want to be. If we get what we want now, we may not get what we want later. The principle of now and later. So how do we discover what we really want in a way that builds my life instead of tearing it down? How do I address that thing inside me that seems to chase what I want in the moment and what I want right now? How do I deal with how I sort of disconnect from later and tell myself subconsciously that it'll all just work out, this is just what I want right now? How do I change that pattern in my life? Well, it's James, the brother of Jesus, that writes some things a couple of thousand years ago that I think we'll find very, very helpful. And I want to make a statement that I don't know that I've made, but in any series we've ever done, but the next 3 weeks have the potential to be the most life-changing, revolutionary in your life and mine, weeks we've ever experienced together. Man, I want to encourage you to do whatever it takes as we dive into this, because it can change everything for the better in your future and mine. But James is the brother of Jesus, and so if it came out on the news this afternoon and began to hit all the news websites and people began to tweet about it that they just found a document written by the brother of Jesus, even if you're not a follower of Christ, there's going to be some intrigue and some curiosity, and you'll probably glance at it at least, if not read it. Well, we have that document. It's called the Book of James in the New Testament, and James, the brother of Jesus, writes this. He asks the question in a different way. He says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you?" Why is there so much conflict in relationships, even the relationships you care about? Why does resentment build? Why is anger there? Why is there conflict? Why are there arguments? Why are there fights? What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires, your wants, that battle within you? James is saying that you bring to the table and I bring to the table all of these wants that are packed inside us. And when I'm not getting what I want, I quarrel, I fight. That's why in a marriage, when you're arguing, and maybe you could try this sometime if you're arguing, you don't argue in your marriage, but help a friend who argues, tell him this trick. When you're arguing, if you were to just stop and say, hey, you know what the problem is? I'm not getting what I want. It would be true. James says that's where all of this conflict comes from. And you might push back on that and you might say, hey, it's not that for me. For me, it's not what I want. It's what I deserve. Because he promised, or she promised, or they said, it's what I deserve. But let me ask you a question. Don't you want what you deserve? See, James is right. The brother of Jesus had it right. It all comes back to our desires that battle within us, our wants. And then he makes this statement. You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. And at that point, there's sort of a collective pushback, and we think, that's ridiculous. This doesn't apply to me. I would never kill anybody. I came close on I-4 one time, but other than that, I promise I would never kill anybody. And we sort of unplug right here and dismiss what James is saying, but think about it. He's writing in hyperbole. He's not writing to a specific person. He's not even writing to a specific church. He's writing to followers of Jesus for all time. It's very general. And so he says, you desire but do not have, so you kill. And while it's true that murder often is a result of what somebody wanted that they didn't get, it goes deeper than that. It actually goes to where you and I live. Have you ever known someone who wanted their marriage to death? Because of what they wanted, it affected how they behaved, and they just kept hounding, and they kept applying pressure, and they kept laying on expectations, and they wanted their marriage to death. The other person left not because they didn't love them, but because they just couldn't take the atmosphere that had been created. You and I know people we've read about in the news that have killed their career. Politicians, entertainers, athletes. You desire but do not have, so you kill. See, you have the ability, and I have the ability, to put to death some of the things that are the most precious to us. And it often happens when we're chasing what we want, and we're more consumed with now than later. He goes on, you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. And that word covet, we think of jealousy, or we think of, I want what you have. We think kind of an internal thing, but this is also external. This speaks of hotly chasing or hotly pursuing in the literal language. It's that I'm not only coveting, I'm coming after it, and I'm coming after it in a way that you're aware, and I don't care how you feel about it, I'm coming after this. But you cannot get what you want because often when you get what you want, it doesn't take very long to discover you don't really want it. And so the minute you get what you want, you thought you wanted that, you don't want it anymore because now you have what you don't really want, but you used to want it. That's why you conquer, you acquire, you achieve, and then it's no longer good enough and you're on to the next thing. Because you and I are chasing wants, but the minute we get them, they don't really fulfill on a deep level, and we're on to the next chase. That's why we've called this series How to Get What You Really Want. Not just how to get what you want, because we spend every day, every week, every month, even most years chasing what we want. But how do you get what you really want? And you can't market this. There are very few places you can go to find help with this. All of the marketing and all of the help is about what you want, not what you really want. Because I can market what you can hold in your hand. I can market what you can put on your body. I can market what you can add to your bank account. But what we're going to be talking about the next 3 weeks, you won't find help for it in very many places because it can't be marketed. What we really want lurks in a realm we rarely explore. Very rarely do you meet individuals who pause at moments in life to really explore what they really, truly want. Something that's beyond the moment. Something that's beyond a temporary pleasure. Something that is going to have impact in my life in a positive way today and tomorrow and next month and next year. The thing that I can build into my life that when I am older, 80 or 90 or however long I live, I will thank God every day that there was a shift in my thinking and I began a pursuit at a point in time in my life of what I really want instead of just what I want. We rarely explore this. But what's amazing is it's what Jesus points us to all through the Gospels. James says, you do not have what you want because you do not ask God. Now, immediately you're thinking one of two things. Either, of course I don't ask God. I know what he would say. Have you ever thought that? I'm not going to pray about this because God would say no. I'm just going to do it anyway. Have you ever thought that? You're doing just what you want right now in that moment. Or you might be saying, well, yes, I have. I've asked God a million times. Notice what James says. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, something interesting happens here in the language. In the Greek language, different translators wrestle with how to translate wrong motives because that's not technically what it says. It includes that, but it goes much deeper than that. And if you were to transliterate, which is a literal translation word by word of the verse, it's kind of clunky and bumpy and doesn't read very well. But here's the actual literal transliteration of that verse. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask badly. You ask wrongly. You ask incorrectly because the foundation of the questions that you're asking is about the moment right now and what it's going to do for you and how it's going to make you feel. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Your perspective often when you ask God, my perspective often when I ask God, isn't it interesting how much of what we ask for are things that are going to make us feel better or things that we think are going to make us be better, but we only see this narrow moment. And no loving parent would ever give their child what the child might want in the moment, but the parent knows ultimately will harm them and create a less than life for them. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask badly. The problem is not even just the motives. It goes beyond that. You're coming from a faulty foundation in what you're asking because you're so focused on this right here and what I want and what I want now and what I think I have to have and what I'm chasing right now. I've gotten other things. I've acquired other things, but none of them have really done it for me. But I think this thing will. I think this relationship will. I think this person will. I think this job will. I think if I could just do that, this house, if I could just do this. So God, would you please work this out? And he knows that ultimately you and I will not find anything fulfilling in stuff, and no one on the planet can bring you peace and be your savior, so no relationship will save you other than your connection with the Father. See, lurking in the shadows of what we want is what we value. It's in the shadows. You're not going to catch this by just glancing. It's just outside the peripheral vision. It's something that you don't accidentally stumble into. It's something that you don't casually glance at. There's an intentional turning and noticing what's lurking in the shadows. It's always been there. It's always been within reach for every single human being. Most people just live their lives like this or chasing that, wanting this or wanting that, and acquiring but never feeling fulfilled. And there's amazing clarity that comes when people get old. But there's a huge tragedy in clarity arriving after opportunity has departed. And you have the chance right now, you have the opportunity for the next 3 weeks to maybe do something you've never done, to make it the highest priority in your life, just to be here and see what God may do as you discover, as you dissect and evaluate something that is rarely explored. Not what do you want, but what do you really want? What's important? Truly important to you, because you'll never get what you really want until you discover what you really value. You'll never get what you really want until you discover what you truly value. So I am inviting you to go on a journey with me for the next 3 Sundays, to step out of what's just right now and step into the now and later principle and discover on a journey together, what is it deep down inside the real you that you truly value? This is how a moment of, maybe that's right, doesn't end there. This is how a moment turns into momentum in your life and mine that ultimately benefits you and helps you and me be the people we were created to be. Don't let yourself get in the way because of what you want and keep you from what you really want. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I do thank you for every single person in this room this morning. Because God, I recognize every person in this room matters infinitely to you. And Father, whether we feel it or not, we are each deeply loved by you. So God, I pray that as we walk through this week, we would do ourselves a favor and maybe schedule some time. Maybe it's during the drive to work instead of listening to the radio, or maybe we carve out some time in the evening when it's quiet. And we really begin to explore what we rarely explore. We go beyond the surface of the moments in the right now into the deeper issues in our lives, and we begin to ask, what is really important to me? What do I really, truly value? And then, Father, I do pray we purpose to be back, and in this journey over the next 3 weeks, that you would blow each of our minds as we step more into the life that you created us to live. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here this morning, and what you want, and really it's a want that's also a need, is a personal relationship with a perfect Heavenly Father. Something that goes beyond religion. Something that's deeper and more love-filled than just keeping a list of rules and hoping it all works out. This morning, what you want is the certainty of forgiveness, of waking up on a Monday or Thursday and walking in life in a deep, unending forgiveness because of how loved you are by God. Of knowing that the power and the presence of God is in your life because you're His. The awesome thing is that's what God wants too. So if you're here this morning and you've never committed your life to Christ, I want to encourage you to pray a very simple prayer. Because everything about life flows from a relationship with Him. Everything about your best life flows from a relationship with Him. So if that's where you are, you just pray this simple prayer. And you can pray it out loud, but you don't have to. You can pray it quietly in your heart. You just say, "Dear God, I know that I need you. Jesus, please come into my life. Please forgive my sin. And please help me to live for you. Father, help me to discover through this series at C3, what I really want." In Christ's name, amen.